everybody, Kyle here. Did you know you could have gotten this episode a few days early and ad-free? Yeah, all you gotta do is head over to patreon.com/Kyle Dempster Studios. Don't wait for next week's episode. Get it now! Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of The Tenets. My name is Kyle, and I'm joined here by my co-host, as always, Stark Realm. How you doing, Stark?
Pretty good.
Good to hear. We're also joined by a recurring guest, Zynode. Hi, Zy. How's that heat treating you?
Heat is awful. How you doing?
And those were his last words. I am doing well. Thank you for asking. We are back. You're here for 3 weeks in a row because we are doing our continued coverage on the PTS patch notes. We got a new piece of note coverage this week, which is titled, this is 5.1.2.
Yeah,
we are. I feel like we're doing breaking coverage on this. And I think part of the community feels like they're breaking over these patch notes. So maybe that's something to discuss here as well. A lot of people are losing their mind over it. And there are a lot of changes. But man, being on that PTS, this stuff still feels really, really good. You guys have any thoughts? Zy, have you been on the PTS for these latest ones?
A little bit.
Stark,
yeah,
did you
get in?
Yeah,
a lot, actually.
That makes sense. One thing we wanted to call out was the soul trap ability here, because this is something that is, well, I guess most people have been working into rotations in some way. And a lot of people feeling
everything.
Everyone's had an opinion on this. This week we got a note saying that there's a known increase and we'll be adjusting this ability in a future patch to bring it more in line with standards. So kind of a, hey, we are going to tweak this thing in a certain direction. We aren't exactly saying what that is yet. So I think you guys were talking off air. That's going to slow down people's dummy testing a little bit. Is that right?
Good, because basically they have noted that there is some intention to change stuff, meaning that anything that you do this week with that skill is irrelevant because it's going to change. So it's just showing off numbers for showing off numbers, which means if people can't physically test this skill because they don't technically know what the change is going to be, that gives everyone a week to actually test the content on TS rather than just dummy hump. Dummy humping is viable in some sense because it does give you a gauge for what the skills do. Mm-hmm. And you can say, well, this is the ceiling for this and this is what's happening and now you can work with this skill. Well, this is us now working with that skill. They need time to do that. So now we can have time to do other stuff rather than just do that.
Ah, see, I like that. Especially with so much content here. I didn't notice if this one talks so heavily about dungeon. Yeah, there's a lot of dungeon group changes for Moongrave and Lair of Marsh Lock. So definitely some important testing that needs to go on there. I haven't gotten back into them. I ran Lair again shortly after you and I did it together, Zy, but I really haven't been in there too much more than that. Some of the glitches that we encountered the first time around were gone, but I don't know.
Yeah,
how many.
They've gone over a lot more of those things this time as well. So a lot of the bugs and such that we saw on your live stream should be gone. And then there are a few more that were more focused on some of the other bosses that we didn't really get to show. And over time, I mean, the course of the PTS is not just, like I said already, for the soul trap thing. It's not just for hitting dummies. Mm-hmm. It's also for testing the content, potentially, what we're about to receive. And with that, the people that have been testing the dungeons have been forwarding their bugs and issues. And this is why we've got such a big list of changes towards it. It's not because, oh, we made a dungeon and we didn't know whether we liked it or not. It's to fix the things that weren't necessarily that obvious to the developers at the time. So once we get our hands on it, we can find these bugs and then they can fix them as and when.
For sure. No, makes total sense. We also got an update finally to the necrotic orb, specifically energy orb morph. This is the one that has so many people up in arms, and I was seeing it in Twitch chats today. For those that are not in the know, I think we talked about this in the last maybe two episodes, but energy orb is the one that people healers spam out, and it has now been put, it's been capped at one orb at a time. If you try and recast it while one's out there, deletes the first and casts a new one. So previously to these patch notes, only one orb could be used and synergized with at a time. So like if Zyno takes it, Stark can't, then, you know, I have to toss out a new one. We are getting the promise change from 2 weeks back where it actually now increases the healing per tick of the ability by about 20%. And the functionality has changed where multiple people can synergize with it. So that's really, really nice for the people that are worrying about it. I say, don't. Your DPS is going to have to pay some attention to it. Otherwise, they're not going to get it. So that's kind of their choice. Healers, you're not responsible if they can't take it. If you know, if you toss it totally out of the field, that's probably bad positioning. But as long as it's thrown in their direction, their responsibility to take that and synergize with it.
Yeah, the irony is having messed around with this on PTS, it does actually feel really good now. Like,
yeah,
historically, I've kind of been harsh on healers. Like, I've played them. I just don't enjoy it because it was a lot of spamming springs and a lot of spamming balls. And now it's not. You drop those, drop one of each, and you've got time to actually respond to what's going on around you because you don't have to just try to triple cast the healing springs constantly or try to send out volleys of balls. This is really cool.
It's a prime example of why people shouldn't panic in the first place as well. It's not a case of, oh, Zos has fixed it because we cried. No, they haven't fixed anything. They're altering it. And it's not to do with you crying. It's to do with the fact that they initially give you a suggestion based on their own testing and their own audits. We then get to try it out and they listen to the feedback from that.
Well,
and then there is major updates. And this is now what our next test is.
Yeah, there is something here, and this was actually back on the when we were talking about the soul trap a minute ago. They're talking about stuff hitting standards, and this has been kicking around in the patch notes. Yeah, this has been hitting with, well, no, but the idea of having standard settings
has been
kicking around since, I think, I think it was actually with, oh God, my brain just fried. The first dungeon DLC this year, Wrathstone, where they actually started talking about, okay, we're going to try to standardize stuff out so that abilities are more uniform in how they work. And there might have been some of that with Mark Meyer. Design. Yeah. Rather rather than having it sort of be this catch-all of stuff is balanced around this ability, and then you could have two abilities that look similar. For some reason, Strife and Entropy are coming to mind right now. Where it looks like it's the same ability, but they were completely different, and one of them was entirely not worth using, and the other one was ridiculously powerful.
Yeah.
So there's an approach to try to take this stuff and sort of smooth it out, so when you look at an ability and how it behaves, you have a pretty decent idea of how powerful it should be, which wasn't true. And a lot of the stuff that's come through here, these are freaking huge patch notes, but a lot of the stuff that's come through here does start to make sense in the range of trying to create a unified pattern out of the game instead of just being a catch-all of different pieces.
Well, this is the thing that they've been trying to do, and I know we're on the course to some extent, but we're also, I mean, around the soul trap idea. They both have two purposes. So energy orb or any version of the orb that you have, whether it's a damage one or the healing one, has two different things that they do. They give back resources and they do either damage or heal. So they've got two purposes there. The trap itself, the soul trap, regardless. It was doing damage over time, but it was only set to one damage type. And they wanted to make sure that both types of people, stamina or magicka, can utilize base game skills, especially if you've done the story for it. What's the point of doing the story if you're all stamina and you can't use it? So they wanted to bring that in, and in doing so, they made it a little bit too powerful. Single target damage over time was too high, so that everybody borderline required it rather than could access it. So that's completely different. And at the same time, really high damage over time abilities don't tend to have any other effects. And really high resource gain don't tend to have any other effects. This was doing really high damage, and then you had resource gain at the same time. It was a bit mental to have two very, very high output and return from two different areas. So not only have they got to watch out how much damage you can put out, but also how much you can gain back if something dies. And I don't think it was balanced enough. I think they deliberately gave us the ceiling so they could slowly bring it back down again, because they weren't sure what they were going to do with it to start with.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
That will also get people testing it. I mean, it worked on you.
Oh, definitely. Every single ad that died gave me 20% of everything back. I couldn't run out.
Yeah, because again, if it had been, oh, hey, this is still not worth using, you might have spent 5 seconds with it and then moved on with your day.
I'll test it anyway, but some will, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go, continue.
Well, I was just going to say, like, this is, on one hand, I actually like that it's being toned down, at least in the cycle, so it's not one of these situations like with Necromancer where it's like, this is overtuned, let's push it live. And I am really psyched about this, where they're saying they're going to try to get more stuff that goes to both Stam and Mag.
Yeah, same here. Because there's a lot of skills doing that right now. And I like the idea of that, because not only does it allow Mag or Stam to use certain abilities without restriction, it also looks like down the line they're trying to cover for a flat resource across the board. Like, everything can choose to do this or not, rather than you have this morph, you have this one. It's being, this does magic or physical, regardless of which one you prefer. You've got the same for Burn and Light passive for the Templar. You've got the Oblivion, Flames of Oblivion for the Mag or Stam DK. See, that works both ways. Mm-hmm. You've got Soul Trap, now doing both of them as well. You've got a few other abilities that do that. And it looks like we're pushing towards a lot more flexibility and choice, rather than don't pick that, that's just for Mag. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. And I think it's going to add a lot of diversity down the line if they keep going down this route.
I'm actually kind of wondering a little bit if they're going to, with that scaling setup, I kind of wonder if they're going to move away from cooking abilities. Yeah, as damage scaling.
Flat damage resource rather than Mag and Stam, or Mag or Stam.
No, I'm thinking
or spell damage.
I'm thinking probably keep both of them, like keep the three stats as is, but unhook the damage scaling from Stam and Magicka.
Yep, just have a bar that you use for abilities. Ability bar, damage bar, whatever, resource bar.
Well, the scaling bar, like the scaling value based on your gear, based on your weapon spell damage stat. Because your actual weapon item just has a damage stat.
Correct.
So moving away from having this split between Stam and Magicka, so you have an ability that's, you know, scaling your potency, let's say. Mm-hmm. Like the damage you do, as opposed to having Stam and Magicka and then having to spec into one or the other hard. Because that's something I've actually seen turn people off of the game. It's like, they'll come in, they're like, I played Skyrim, I loved Skyrim. I do this thing where, like, I play the sword, this warrior that hits things with a sword, but then sometimes I want to throw a fireball. And it's like, ESO doesn't really work like
that. Yeah, you can do it, but we'll put this down to the simplest version of it. If you want to split your Mag and Stamina down the middle, mm-hmm. and you want to use a sword and board and a fireball, sure, you can do that. But your physical stuff is going to be half as effective as it could be because you've got half a stat, and your magical stuff is going to be half as effective as it could be because you've got half a stat. One would think that would mean that some physical, some magic combined would mean equal across the board, so you've got the same damage output as everybody else, but you've got half and half. It doesn't actually work that way. You lessen the effectiveness of both of them by half, and therefore end up doing half of the overall damage, if not less.
Yeah, so, and it is less.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't want to always talk about DPS as a whole, but that is essentially what we're talking about here. I mean, if you went as healing effectiveness as well and went Stam and Mag and half down the middle, neither one of them is going to be a master of its own. You're not even going to be a jack of all trades. You're just going to have bits and pieces put together. And PvP, to some extent, you can get away with that. PvE, you can do it, but it's not necessarily as effective as it would look on paper. So this whole flat stat idea, if they are going to go down that route, would be really, really nice to see.
Yeah, especially since it's sort of intuitive for people. They look at a lot of people who are new to the game, look at the skills or the stat pools, and then look at the skills and go, okay, so I want to make sure I've got points in both pools so I can use abilities from both pools.
That's also very true. I mean, you've got three different attributes to choose tactically where to put your points, and there's not really any tactical choice there. I mean, there is, because effectively you do have a choice. You can do what you want with it. But if you want to go straight up balls to the wall, I'm going to go as hard into stamina as possible, you're not going to use the magic attributes.
Yeah,
or the health attributes. You won't actually use them. I mean, there's a line between choice and a line between what really drives for you to perform the most in your role. And it's not a case of there's one way or no way, because in this game there most definitely isn't. There's too many choices. But when it comes to stats, I feel like you are still pigeonholed into, if you're Stam, you go all Stam. If you're Mag, you go all Mag. If you want loads of health, you go all loads of health. The only ones that tend to be twisting those attributes are some tanks recently.
Yeah.
Apart from that, everything goes one or the other.
Yeah, so tanks or PvP.
twist
like
it.
You do twist it around in PvP a little bit, because at that point, hitting the same damage thresholds isn't quite as critical as having the ability to mess with people.
No, yeah. You just need to make sure they run out first, and then, well, whatever you've got is going to kill them.
Yep.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's a... I don't know, like, looking at the stuff where it's starting to scale off both stats, on one hand, just
opportunities
by itself, that's really cool. Yeah. But as part of this whole sort of refactoring of the combat system, that actually gets me really excited. Like, what are they going to, what are they doing here?
It does look like a start to a new design.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
That's pretty cool. Definitely. I mean, a lot of people are seeing all these changes very short term. And, you know, that's, I think, a lot of the freak out.
Well,
they are and they aren't. I mean, they are in one respect because it's like, oh, this is new. But then in another respect, it's just one skill right now. Mm-hmm. Or one skill right here. They're not going, combat's changed, get used to it. They've just gone, here's one skill, get used to the idea. There might be more. And I think they're treading very slowly into it, but obviously bit by bit by bit per quarter, rather than just here's a patch, now you don't know what to do anymore. I think they're getting us used to the idea. The same with the Nightblade as well. The DK also, they had some skill changes, some drastic skill changes, in fact, that worked along stacking bonuses and synergizing alongside other skills, which was a direct spin-off from the way the Necromancer plays.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Bit by bit, patch by patch, they're giving us entirely new ways to play, but they're not giving it to us all at once. They're leaning us into it slowly. And the sooner you can adapt to how this is going, the easier it will be for you down the line, because it does look to me like they're changing the whole combat face as a rule.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more intuitive, a lot more choices, a lot more customization and diversity. They've just got to try and nail down where the balance is, which is the hardest part, of course, especially when you're considering PvE and PvP combined.
Yeah. And there is a sort of, like, in fairness thing, that if you're looking at the game and trying and can't see yourself adapting, some of this stuff could be pretty panic-inducing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because, and that's, like, we say this all the time, like, you need to learn to adapt. The thing is going to change. This is your freaking mantra. Like, the game changes over time constantly.
Yeah, it does.
That's the nature of an MMO. But if you're not used to that, especially somebody like the example we used a minute ago, somebody coming from Skyrim, and then this is their first experience with an MMO. Yeah, this could be pretty terrifying, especially in the moment. But yeah, roll with the punches. This looks like it's building into something really interesting.
I want to know how many other abilities are going to get affected in the same way.
I got the weird feeling the answer is going to be yes.
And a lot of them.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm seeing a lot of changes here that are really, like, even in the small pieces. I think, like, 2 weeks ago I said this
you
is...
You wait till Magical Bomb, Proxy Death, that scales off.
Oh yeah. My god, that's terrifying. No, like, I think I said this 2 weeks ago, where it's you sort of look at this as a whole instead of individual pieces. But looking at individual pieces, there's a lot of really cool things here buried in. This is one from this week's patches, but the change to momentum. So this is the two-hander ability. You click it, you get a heal over time. The rally morph, you click it again while it's active, and you get an instant burst heal. It used to give you major evasion, which, okay, so what? And now it's being changed to grant minor endurance, which means you now have a stam heal. It's a heal over time. You can force it to heal faster, you know, like force it to heal in a burst, but it's going to give you stam back. At playing as a two-hander for PvE, stam sustain is the hardest part about using that weapon.
It's going to scale off of stacking effects as well, because you've got to consider if you are using potions, for example, you can have major endurance from it. You've got minor endurance as well, which is from this. You could be a werewolf with a recovery bonus on your bar, which also stacks with it. And then with a two-hander, for getting kills and such, you will actually get a stamina recovery bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps you in that kind of brawler-esque type mode where the more you do, the more you get back. And although it's a tiny bonus, it does stack up all the other ones. So that can actually be quite significant once you get to a higher end of recovery, especially on a two-hander as well. You could probably stay in a fight for quite a long time.
Yeah,
this is only a very small bonus, like I said, to base, but when you start stacking them effectively, that's when it really counts.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really cool change. I do like what they've done with that.
And there's a lot of things like this. The one we were talking about earlier with the orbs is another example of that, where it's, when you look at it initially, it looks really depressing. It's like, oh, you're not going to be able to stack multiple orbs. And that was especially when it originally went hit PTS. It was just delaying the replacements. You couldn't share the synergies. Now that it sticks around through the synergies.
This is true. And this is also something I brought up in my own stream as well. I did say to the chat, I said, you've got two choices to raise your hand here. If you're a healer and you spam three bubbles at a time and you never see anybody take them, raise your hand. Basically put something in the chat. And all the healers rose up, basically. I said, okay, if you're a DPS, how many times have you seen three bubbles go past that you either didn't take or couldn't take? Everyone who was honest about it admitted that that was the same issue for them as well. Mm-hmm. So healers are wasting them because no one's taking them. And DPSs think healers are wasting them because no one is taking them around them and they're not taking them either. So what is really the problem with the bubbles? Because nobody was using them in the first place. So the way that they've now made it and then made them slow down, made them easier to pick up for the whole group. Everybody now has that panic of, oh, we must all press it because everybody can. So that's going to make it a lot more usable and used. Physically used more often. Mm-hmm. And you're right, this whole doom and gloom side of stuff, I mean, when you actually nail it down and test it, there's some really cool changes coming for stuff like that.
Such salt over all of this one. I think you guys, you know, summarized that very, very well, that there's going to be, I would like to see a massive rebalancing, but I would like to see that standardization that you guys mentioned and it kind of change up here.
And
it,
we're seeing that.
Yeah.
Like it's here.
Exactly.
It's creeping in bit by bit.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's that slow rollout, like you said, that can be where it's kind of hard to see it when you're looking at something so myopically for a while. You know, you're looking at one skill. We started talking about the necrotic orb and you're like, well, why? But then it fits into this much larger puzzle that we can't see yet because our feedback and experiences with it in combat are shaping that larger picture at the same time that they are creating it. So,
I don't know.
And that's just only one tiny note. Go ahead, Sark.
Sorry, I was just sitting here thinking with momentum, that does something else for me really nicely, which is I love using that as a back bar on a tank. So it's like, hey, I got another stamp source now.
Yep. As long as you're not blocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if I'm blocking constantly, I'm screwed anyway.
That's true.
I'm fine with that too. Like it's like, yeah, punish me for being an idiot. That's good. If you have to learn the fight, then it's actually fun. If you can just sit there and block the entire time, it's like, okay, now I can take a nap.
Yeah, pretty much.
As a next step here, do we want to kind of, what would you guys like to do? We got some minor changes with the actual classes this week. I don't think everybody got a large change. I don't think like the Necromancer, for example, got anything. But do we want to kind of just talk about highlights in general, like with the Nightblade and the Sork and all them have that you guys think is most standout for that? Or do you just want to cover this week's? What are you guys thinking?
Because
there's a
whole
lot.
DK.
We have a DK down here.
You want to talk about the DK? Yeah, go for the DK. This is your baby.
I don't want to go too far into it because obviously I don't want to bore the tears off here. But the Dragon Knight is renowned in its base for being adept at single target damage over time. Just like a Nightblade is good at single target, spammable and execute. And it's like a Templar is good for damage over time, but both an area of effect and single target, especially during execute and the ability to heal from damage done. Every class has got its own kind of identity, regardless of what you can make from it with the tools that you've got. The Dragon Knight, with its single target damage over time, wasn't excluded from that. It did have that. But with recent tests and in recent kind of, forcing of everything trying to be exactly the same. We went over this in the previous one. Basically, Soul Trap initiated or introduced an extra single target damage over time, so VMA daggers. I don't mean daggers, I mean dual wield, because let's face it, you might not be using two daggers. Dual wield as a whole made it way too easy to make every single class pretend to be a Dragon Knight. They ignored spears or sweeps from a Templar, ignored blast burns from a Necromancer, ignored surprise attack from a Nightblade, ignored shulks or budgies from a Warden, all that kind of stuff. There was all manner of different things that were just completely ignored as base skills and identity based abilities to just turn everything into a pretend DK. Them hitting Soul Trap and VMA weapons at the same time as giving the Dragon Knight now in their passive an extra 4 seconds out of their single target Ardent Flame damage over time ability, and a 7% increase to their damage over that period of time as well, rather than 2 seconds and 3 increase, is up to 4 seconds and 10. That gave it back its identity. Now, the rest of them didn't really need to be affected, because the only problem was it was too easy to pretend to be a DK. Now, with those increases to the DK, it doesn't necessarily mean that overall, because things are being changed across the board anyway, that it will be higher than everything else flat out in terms of overall damage output, but it will mean that damage over time in single target instances will be more attuned to the Dragon Knight rather than everyone else being able to copy it. Now they've got to do it their own way. So yes, you can still do it, but the DK will still shine in that area. And that is one of the changes that it doesn't really look like that at first glance, but that looks, once you go through the spoiler and you fully understand what their intention is to do, is it is to keep every class inside its own kind of, well, I've said it already, identity. And I think that in DK changes alone, they've brought that back. So far, anyway. I mean, we're in testing, so things could change, but so far it looks really, really good. That was long.
That's fair. No, actually, that's very concise, to be honest. I mean, this is massive changes and shifts, so that was very concise. Which one do you guys want to tackle next? We jumped out of order. Dragon Knight there. We want to talk about Stark. You're a big, you have a lot to say about Nightblades usually. Anything that's really
usually shifts? I do, yeah. In this case, it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of stuff here that's actually fixing stuff.
Mm, that's
looking at the 5.1, it's a lot of stuff where it's like, for example, Shadowy Disguise Morph. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before. If you're looking at a civvy and you've got your Prevent Attacking Innocence active, it'll fail. It'll be like, nope, you can't attack them. And it's like, no, I'm trying to hide from them. They fixed that.
Ignis Weapons stuff, used to do that too.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that do that. But that got fixed. Summon Shades, but there's some other stuff like Summon Shades has damage reduced a little bit. Like there's,
yeah.
But a lot of it's pretty minor. The one thing that did stand out was an increase to drain power. So this kind of ends up in the range of what we were talking about with standardizing. Drain power, and especially I think Sap Essence is the stam morph, but it's not that great. Like on live, it's not that great. It looks like it's a legitimate choice. It looks like, oh, hey, I could use this instead of using Whirlwind. And you can't. It's much more limited than that. I want to say the damage is significantly lower, but I'm doing that from memory, so I could be wrong. And what we're seeing here is it's like the damage has been tweaked around and its heal has been tweaked. The heal was increased initially and then brought back down because there was some interaction glitch. And I'm reading this. I didn't actually test it heavily on PTS, so I'm not sure exactly what happened to the numbers there. But on the whole, it looks like it's been increased to the point where it's usable without having gone in and checked that it actually is, in fact, right now. There's still some weird stuff floating around, but on the whole, this Nightblades have mostly been getting bug fixes for this that I've found.
Yeah, because this one it required targets for you to be able to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was busted, so
yeah,
you could do it with no targets.
Yeah, I think I saw that getting fixed too. Yeah, if you fail to hit a target with this ability, yeah, it would still heal you. Yeah. It would also, I think if you targeted them and you fired it, I think it was applying the weapon damage debuff to them, even if they weren't in range by the time it actually finished. But I'm not 100% sure of that either. So yeah, that's been a wonky ability for a while. Not a fan of it normally, but looks like it's bug fixes for the most part for Nightblades.
Pretty much, yeah. That doesn't look like there's any significant changes as such. It's more of stuff like, this is broken. Let's just alter that.
Grim Focus will no longer eat your stacks if you miss your shot, if you don't actually manage to connect your shot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sounds very helpful.
That was always... It is.
It's a pretty
Grim Focus... Yeah, Grim Focus, if you haven't played a Nightblade, it's a little bit irritating to manage. Partially because it does have, it's a timed buff that you then have to proc while it's active, but mostly because it's just an awkward thing you have to learn to deal with if you're a Nightblade, and anything that doesn't cause it to simply straight up fail is nice.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want that.
The damage mitigation is nuts from it, though, because even if the skill runs out, as long as you've built up those ticks, as long as you stay in combat, that resistance buff or mitigation will stay with you until the fight ends.
Well, it also picked up, I think, a heal in Wrathstone, which is really nice.
Yeah, if you're close enough, you'll get a heal off it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's the case of, do you keep it for the resistance buff, or do you take it for the damage and the heal? And that was what they did with a lot of the skills. They started adding kind of double dips to them, different conditions, and kind of learn how to utilize the ability rather than just press it because it's there. Choices, which was really, really cool. I like how they changed that in Wrathstone. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, now they're just tweaking it.
Yeah. And I think that's actually a thing, because we're talking about how they're rebalancing stuff, and like it's a system-wide rebalance or system-wide audit or something. And that's what we're seeing here, where it's like, this is, the Nightblade has already gotten the balance pass they were looking at, and this is a lot of minor tweaks.
Yeah, definitely. And Nightblade was played with for a long time, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They were constantly trying to find a way to not make it just stupidly powerful on its own, but then not take away its stealthy, quickly get in, kill, get out identity.
Yeah.
And now it's more about gauging the fight and timing and deciding, do I do this or do I not? It's the whole thing is a fight or flight type class. You get in and smack stuff, or you run away and come back when you're stronger. And it's even that grim focus is like, stay protected or hit really hard. Mm. And I like what they did with it. And it's still going down that route while still maintaining its ability, even on the DPS side of things, to be just as viable as it always was. It's just a different style of play now, and it's now more in line with the other classes.
The funny thing, and this is actually going back to Wrathstone, but one of the things that still cracks me up a little bit from Salt on the Boards was the change to surprise attack. Because that went from just a straight up fracture debuff to it's a scaled debuff. So it stacks with everything else if you're flanking, which is way more thematic to what you're trying to do anyway. And it stacks on top of your tank is hitting them with pierce armor anyway. So before it was like, oh, hey, you can debuff them, except you can't because your tank already did. Well now it's actually its own unique debuff.
This also underlines two different things. One, design of a roll. So you should be hitting stuff in the back because they probably shouldn't see you coming. And two, how many Nightblades have you seen standing in front of the boss next to the tank and getting whooped?
Am I supposed to count myself too?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, so that's a yes.
Now you know, if you do stand behind the boss, smacking stuff, you will benefit from it. So it encourages you to play in a certain position, not just a certain role. And also that skill was overpowered as crap anyway.
Because
major fracture for hitting plus a high hit and major ward and major resolve from your passives. So you got the debuff and the equivalent buff at the same time just for hitting something. It was that way for a very, very long time, and quite honestly, no other class in the game could do anything even close, because everyone else had to slot extra abilities to be able to apply both bonuses or negative and positive effects.
Of course, the trade-off was for a long time they did not have a click heal unless you went two-hander.
That's true.
So it's like, because you had that thing where the Nightblade,
but then you could execute stuff and heal from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Nightblade, especially like at launch, everybody else had their own click heal. The Nightblade did not. So it was like, okay, I've got this glass cannon. The glass cannon is actually tougher than it looks.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get the classes should be. Yeah. But at the same time, you couldn't actually heal from incoming damage. So it's like, you needed to kill it right now.
Yeah, that was their design as well. I mean, their ability to get rid of something quick when it's low health, to do one of two things. Get rid of it because it's killing you, or kill it because you need a heal and something else is going to kill you. So it gave you the more incentive to start looking around for low health targets and pick them off as you go, rather than just standing in the face of the enemy and blasting it until it's dead.
Well, and revisiting design decisions from 2014, the Nightblade was always the most aggressive healer spec.
Yep. Got to be in close and smack shit.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to our sorcerer?
Damage shields.
Oh God, Sorcerers weren't they deleted back in October of last year or something like that?
Well, they've been deleted every single patch.
They've been deleted every time somebody looks at them funny. Sorcerers have always been the most powerful class in the game and completely destroyed every patch.
Time.
It's both things at the, at the same time.
And every single time the patch comes out, they're still just fine.
Yep.
Huh. I'm still yet to see a patch where the sorcerers actually did die.
2020 April Fool's joke. They're actually all gone.
Yeah, they were killed.
Yep.
But yeah, they
Clanfear died all the time.
Clanfear.
Bastard would just lie down on the job.
Wasn't that one of our newer, wasn't one of the updates from, it wasn't the exact Clanfear, but something about them getting a heal from the newest section of notes here or something like that.
Oh, the Clanfear did actually get nerfed. Like, this is... It stings a little bit. This was back in 5.1.0.
There's a reason for that, though.
Yeah, because it's absurdly powerful on a... It's absurdly powerful on live.
The percentage heal based on your maximum health, so the more health you have, the more effective that is. I mean, that's something that Dragon Blood does, but based on missing health rather than percentage of your overall, which still scales off of max health anyway. But it was such a flat bonus and such a massive increase to heals versus what you already have available in your arsenal. You've got Power Surge or Crit Surge alongside maybe Boundless Storms or Hurricane. It doesn't even matter how much damage you're doing. Every single tick of one of those could crit and you're going to heal off it. Plus, you've got a burst heal. It was disgusting. Mm-hmm. The two combined could basically render you in some situations borderline immortal. Then you could get Vitality from certain skills as well. Prophecy as well. It was really, really broken.
Yeah. And it's going. So it's taking it down from, it's taking it down from 40% to I think 26% something like that.
Which is still huge.
It's still a huge. Yeah, it's still a huge click. Especially heal,
if you especially take advantage of the Vengeance pack and crit it.
Well, it's also still really attractive on tanks because it does give the Sork a really nice click heal, and you're going to be running high health anyway, so it's a large heal for you. Like it's legit.
Block three speed, 10 champion points in the first blue tree will give you vengeance. You block three spells in the space of 10 seconds of each other, and your next ability that has a flat stat to it, whether it be damage or heal, will crit. So just like Dragon Blood, that 25% can go much, much higher because you can just block three spells and then hit it, and then you go bang, your health goes straight up. It's very strong even now.
Yeah. It's also kind of funny because it's gone from like Clanfear specifically has gone from something I would not touch on my Sork tank to being really nice to have because the other major change was they can't be killed in dungeons or trials anymore.
Yep.
So cleaning up their behavior for those, which I think was part of this balance change, like the overhaul, cleaning that up so that they're actually viable in that content. And then this suddenly becomes the heal for the tank if you're running a Sork. That's really nice.
Yep.
It's a new option.
I'm all about it. More options. Yay. Templar.
Oh, wait. There was one other thing with, I think it was with this one today or yesterday that I missed. And it was goofy. It might have been last week's. There was a change to Bolt Escape. You can no longer block it, the stun from it.
Yeah.
So, like, you block and you still get stunned when they Bolt Escape through you. That warms the cockles of my heart.
Oh, God.
That should work out anyway. You're jumping through them in a big bolt of lightning. You shouldn't be able to block them.
Yeah, I think that's actually what the note is, isn't it? It's like, you know, somebody traveling through you is a bolt of energy. Your shield shouldn't do anything about it.
Yeah. Cross your forearms in front of you and block a lightning bolt.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen. Put your fingers in a plug socket and hold block a bit.
Now should we traverse? Go ahead.
This was the thing that I think, Zai, did you try to bring it up? Yeah, you did with the shields. The max health limitation on shields got tweaked back up a little bit. So that went from 40% to 50%, and Hardened Ward is now 60.
Yeah, which is the stronger of the two heals anyway, shields anyway, because the other one has... And then also Annulment did the same.
Mm-hmm.
So the two shields are basically me and each other in the middle.
Yeah.
And they stack.
I think it's a reasonable adjustment, though, overall. It's nice to see some.
Healing gone down a little bit. Damage reduction gone up a little bit. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Anything else for our sorcerers here?
I think we're there. I think
dead we got plus.
Yeah. A plus. Yeah. Sork's dead. No, so, yeah, no living sorks anywhere.
Oh, well, okay. Now we're back down to five classes, everyone. You heard it here. Next on our list is the Templar, which got some changes to some of their Adric Spear, Dawn's Wrath. Most of it seems to be rebalancing in terms of hitting that standard, I think, like you guys were mentioning before.
Pretty much.
What more stands out to me, and I think, Stark, you and I talked about this in the past, at least I think this is in relation, was we talked about more about stam healing coming to the front, and we've seen some more of that. And we also notice in these, there's a lot to restoring light down there that's been changed. Cleansing ritual goes up from healing ticks. Because is that now also scaling off of stamina, too? Was it cleansing ritual? I can't remember which one.
One of them was supposed to be old. I don't remember which one. Yeah. I know that circular protection is now stamina heal.
Right. I had some weird memory from us in a previous episode where we definitely talked about them getting some stam healing.
I think it was cleansing ritual. I don't think it was this. I think that was with elsewhere.
Yeah, I think
that it was
correct.
Changed so it would scale with the larger resource pool.
And so now healing ticks going up on it. So
they standardized it versus the damage output of ritual of retribution.
Yeah.
Because I think that one was too high. That one was higher than the other by too much. So they brought it back down in line with the AoE audits as far as damage and healing was concerned.
It seems like if I were still playing my Templar, I would actually be pretty interested in that spell right about now. I was not a huge cleansing ritual fan at the time.
It's historically, it's been kind of a mess skill.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's nice to see it getting attention.
It is. Because you know me, I'm all about class-specific skills. But before, you know, rocking a healing Templar, I was just like, well, what do I mean, cleansing ritual? Okay, sure, I guess, if I have to, but...
The one thing I don't like about it is the PvP application of it, and that's the fact that you can re-spam it. If you're going to have something with a massive AoE that cleanses you and cleanses everybody else if they take the synergy and heals over time as well, you shouldn't be able to reapply it.
That's
it down last 6 seconds, put it down again.
That's actually a really good point to call out there, huh?
Otherwise, you can spam it.
Interesting. Yeah, nothing else.
CC's on a cooldown. Quen should be just.
Yeah. That's something that really stands out to me with the Templar. That's a really good note to flag, too. Anything else really stand out to you guys? I mean, they seem just fairly balancey change. Like
they all have purifying light to bring the heal per tick down by quite a bit. Yeah. But then if you look at the flat heal from it in the first place, 29% reduction. So for argument's sake, we'll say like 30%. So you've still got 60%-ish of the initial heal. A bit more than that, actually, 70%. And
70,
that's
yeah.
still a lot. It's a hell of a lot. So you got 70% of the initial heal. Say for argument's sake, that was, 1,000, which it wasn't. Now it's 700. Whoopee-doo. I think it was 3,000 a tick or something like that if you had decent buffs running.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so like 3,000, 3,500.
That still brings it up to, 2,100, which is a lot per tick every 2 seconds for everyone around the area. It's still a massive heal. They brought it down, obviously, to make sure that balances out versus the other healing skill. So Healing Springs is... slightly less, but although brought back up again. Bubbles is slightly less, although brought back up a little bit. The Circle of Protection now heals as well, which is an additional heal that we didn't have before. And then you've got this, which is already on the ground as well, which was already there, but now goes down. So the other thing is a little gap. I think the healing is going to be roughly the same as it was before across the board. It's just going to be done slightly differently.
I think that's
I'm sorry, this is a little bit of weird rabbit track, but I'm wondering. A lot of feedback. I know that we gave even on the podcast and on stream with the Necromancer was it's really cool how you have to not how you have to but how you can basically run your full skill bar as class skills. And I'm looking at some of these changes and I'm starting to wonder if the goal is not to if their goal is to make that a viable option for the other five classes.
Oh yeah,
well, that's exactly how it looks. I mean, it technically already is, but you would in some ways versus what is obviously strong, be borderline gimp in your potential. What it looks like here is exactly what you're saying. It looks like they might expect you to possibly utilize a weapon skill or armor skill here and there, but not build entire classes just based on weapons.
Yeah, because that's
your weapon
been the...
is your thing you hit with. It's not where your strength comes from.
Right.
So it looks like they're strengthening the core class abilities to work alongside a weapon ability rather than just, hey, I'm a Templar, but I don't use Templar skills or any other classes. Mm-hmm.
When it makes really sense.
Yeah,
a
because,
lot of...
you know, Stamp Sork, where it's you're just using Crit Surge and nothing else.
Yeah.
It makes sense as a game development strategy going forward because it lends a lot to replayability of actually, I mean, in many ways, there's not really a reason to level up all the different types of classes if you're just going to play them with the, you know, all the weapon skills on your bar and that's it. So making them all feel very different, unique and viable is, I think, a really smart approach. And I definitely see that in these notes. I really think that's why they decentralized it from the resto staff, a lot of those abilities to shake people out of them. I mean, again... I think I'm only running on my healing necro, only two spells off that bar, and one of them I could give up, and I sometimes do, depending on the fight. So I think combat prayer is the only one I religiously run throughout, just because those are pretty unique buffs. And but otherwise, take Enduring Undeath, let that be your thing. And it seems like Cleansing Ritual is also going to hopefully take some of that place. You mentioned a minute ago the Circle of Protection, right, from the Fighters Guild.
Yeah, there's a morph of that there, Fazrian, is a morph that will heal you.
That's nice, too. I mean, that's also an interesting kind of spoke of the conversation, is kind of how these different guild lines are fitting in and how that's being rebalanced in addition to this. Because those are... pretty uniform too, but now with that slight change, you're actually, that's the first time I've ever run a Fighter's Guild ability, is because
it's also...
the thing is, it's got a boost as well, isn't it, because it's a Fighter's Guild passive ability, and then the Fighter's Guild passives, if you have one of those abilities on your bar, that increases your weapon damage. Now to the untrained eye, if you like, it looks like, oh, it's a heal, what's the point? Well, if you're using a stamina as a base resource for your stamina heal, then your weapon damage is going to contribute to that as well. So for being on the bar, it's already got a boost.
Right. Great point.
Yeah.
Shall we move
there's
on?
Actually a,
oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, there's a theme with Fighters Guild where you just keep stacking the skills together on the bar to increase your weapon damage bonus from them. Like, and this is even especially with, like, if you're using Flawless Dawnbreaker, you're probably not using it. You're just slotting it for the weapon damage bonus.
Ooh, interesting.
So, yeah, this is...
it's something I haven't tested. Mm-hmm. But if you activate Evil Hunter right now, you have 5 seconds worth of Fighter's Guild abilities. Is it reduction to cost or increased damage?
That's a good question. I thought it was reduced cost.
I don't remember which way around it was. It might be reduction to cost. If it's reduction to cost, then that's going to make it even cheaper because they have reduced the cost of that already. Did they mess with that even further and made it the next ability was stronger? Because you've got a short window there. It's only 5 seconds. I mean, that could be quite interesting because then you could potentially push the heel of it.
Yeah, because savagery well slotted.
Yeah. So your crit chance is up. Your weapon damage is up, so your heel is stronger anyway. Mm. If it does do reduction to cost, which I think you might be right there, I think it does.
Yeah, it does.
And obviously it's cheaper to place it, although you do have to activate the other ability in the first place. But anything else you fire after that is cheaper already for the next 5 seconds. So if you activate Evil Hunter once, put down a shield on the ground, pull in a couple of chains from your Silver Leash, you can get some really low cost rapid firing abilities out all at the same time. And still stack weapon damage bonus on the same bar. Damn healers. Same.
Stam healers. Seems like that's going to be really on the up and up. So
which
it is.
I like it. I mean, it's good. We've had people
I'm
trying
nervous
to...
when the healer starts chaining things in, but...
Well, that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe healers are just going to morph into their own weird DPS stam roll. Who knows?
And a weird tank roll. Like, if your healer's doing your CCs, like... But that's the funny thing. It's the really funny thing about this, because the bow actually has a conal CC. It's one of the only ones in the game.
Mm-hmm. It's an evasive maneuver, if you like. It's a way to avoid getting hit because you're squishy with the bow.
Well, yeah, because you got Bombard, so you can do that and then chain them in, because the route from Bombard is non-competitive with the normal CC immunity.
Mm-hmm.
So you lock them in place, you pull them into your circle of protection. Wow, that's going to lead to some weirdness.
Good.
I like it. Yeah.
It's like
this is bizarre. No, I do.
Yeah, weird is good.
If you're approaching the game and saying there's only one way to do this, that's not interesting.
Nope.
There's that Sid Meier quote where it's like a game should be a series of interesting, a sequence of interesting choices. And depending on how you feel about it, it doesn't really matter. But in this case, like, this is an interesting choice. It's like, do you want to do some really weird with your healer and actually start having your healer handling some of the party CC? Because if this is available for a Stam healer, stuff could get really interesting.
Yep.
I'm in on it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here in shock. This is cool.
Hey, that's what we like to see, is some innovation. So we talk Dragonite. That means we can skip down to the Warden, who I've not played in a very long time. I wonder how he's doing these days.
New heal update.
Ooh.
Initial heal now scales off of max of 25% of your maximum health up to 15%, while the heal over time scales off of 3% of your max health down from 5%. So the heal over time has been slightly reduced, but the flat heal, scaling off of your maximum health, your Arctic Wind we're looking at the moment here, is very nice. When that first came into the game in Morrowind, that was extremely underwhelming. Mm-hmm. It was the only thing we had. It was a choice. We had to take it. Now it is somewhat being standardized with that of other max health-based heals, such as Dragon Blood, Clan Fear, and other such.
Even the cloak passes. Rebalance.
The cloak, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
They all have their own unique way of giving back the health, whether it be a dot or a burst or based on maximum or based on missing and all that kind of stuff, but they're all still off of max health, so they are aimed at being tanky type heals. Heal over time that happens over 5 seconds instead of 10 as well, so it's been escalated. So it's quicker ticks. It's really nice. I like that. It felt squishy before. It felt like it was doing its job, but it didn't feel like it was quite strong enough.
That was my problem. If I was running if I was running a Warden, either as a healer or as a tank. Well, no, as a tank, this never looked appealing to me. Mm-hmm. Because I always had the option of, okay, I'll just run trees, or I'll just actually use the shrooms. And pop those out and get a better heal from them and maybe save the DPS from their own mistakes. So this actually starts to look like something I might slot and run.
Yep. Button seeds as well, or heal, yeah, button seeds mm-hmm. from healing seed. When this goes down on the ground, it gives you a circle, basically, and after 6 seconds it will pop and heal everyone. Or they can take the synergy and heal themselves, or you can reactivate it and just instantly take the heal. So you can just double tap Air of Effect, Breath of Life effectively. It's insane. Not enough people utilize it or understand it, but it's very, very strong. This has been altered and now has a heal over time effect while it's growing. So while it's on the ground going over 6 seconds, this will actually heal over time. So effectively a 6 second healing springs, if you like.
I'm a big
fan. Which stacks
fan.
With it.
I like that. I didn't really notice this before. And I mean, I'm just thinking of it short term now. But that weird, awkward, you know, throwing it down, that having to wait the 6 seconds thing did fit with other Warden abilities, but also kind of felt a little bit clunky. Maybe in the larger scheme of all MMO healing, like, I don't see that too often where you throw something down, then have to wait for it to pop. I think a lot of people just looked at healing seeds and thought, okay, wait, this is going to heal over time. No. Now it will, though. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's very visible
as well. This was also an ability that when you'd look at it... I'm sorry, I'm talking over you.
No, go.
This is an ability where it just gave you a really bad first impression.
Yeah.
Because you'd pop it out there and it just wouldn't do anything. And then 6 seconds later, after you'd lost track of it, then it activates. So it's like, this is good. This is actually an improvement.
It'll make it feel better. Double pop.
Yeah.
But you're right. It does feel like once it's on the ground, I mean, you do have two choices. You wait for it, or someone takes a synergy, or you pop it. But the initial cast of it does feel like, hey, I fired this. Oh, nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
especially
like
if you don't know to double cast it.
Yes, right. This is very true. This is a fundamental problem.
with players in general not reading their skills, for sure. But this also is something that if you first fire it, you look around waiting to see what happens. So it can be counterintuitive in that respect, because you think once you've fired it, even if you haven't read your skill, you expect something to be going on right now. Like, oh, this, look at this new heal. I pressed it. You're being healed. Don't worry. And they're not. They're not being healed. Well, now you are. Anyone can just pick it up and use it.
This is going to make it a lot more player friendly. I mean, in the yeah. small, yeah. which again Correct. Is, you know, is very important to this balance, is keeping the new players, the people that are just coming over for the first time, you know, and the Warden's the first healer they've ever rolled. We need to keep them engaged in the game. Some of these obscure mechanics, like mechanics are good, they make you learn, but obscure mechanics and important skills can be not so good. It can feel weird, and then you feel uncomfortable with your class, and then why are you playing the game? So this sort of thing, I think, really streamlines it, brings it, like I said, back in line with MMOs as a whole, which is, again, good, because we do get a lot of runoff from other MMOs, so that's important.
Yeah. It's got to be... familiar, but not mm-hmm. the same.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. Have its own unique flavor, but still be reminiscent, and you know what you're doing when you use it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else for the Warden? That was pretty quick notes for this week, especially.
There wasn't a lot changed with the Warden, Mm-mm. ironically.
I didn't see much.
I think there was some stuff with 5.1.0. Yeah, there's some tweaks, like advanced species had its... animal companion damage modifier reduced 2% from 3.
Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah, that's actually pretty significant. But at the same time, it's like, this doesn't change how the class plays.
Mm-mm. No, of course. It's a flat stat modifier. That's it. And that brings it in line with the Fighter's Guild as well, because Fighter's Guild mm-hmm. was a 5% weapon. It's not the same, but it was a 5% weapon damage increase for having Dawnbreaker on your bar. And then it was the 3% from the passives, which was 8% overall. Mm-hmm. They took away the 5%. So that sounds like it's terrible. But then the Warden itself, if you put on 5 abilities from the Animal Companion skill line, that would be 15% flat damage increase. So all damage, not weapon damage, all damage. And you could stack Dawnbreaker with it. So you get a 15% across the board plus an 8% weapon damage bonus to everything that you're doing. That stacking was quite high, and removing that slight bonus from the Dawnbreaker and then bringing each individual 3% down to 2 now means 5% weapon damage gone and 5% flat damage overall gone. So that brought that whole bar straight down. That's quite a big drop. But then again, it will still be really, really high because you've got a lot of other bonuses that apply to combat that other people don't have. Many
this reminds me
of- and stuff like that.
This reminds me of something really slightly esoteric. I actually remember coming to you with this a couple of months ago, where it was like, I ran across it specifically when you were when I was combining Imperial Dragon Guard, the Dragon Guard set, and Sorcerer mm-hmm. on cost reductions. Couldn't figure out how the math made sense. Turns out I was right. The math didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense. Yep.
Yeah, they were adding together. Like, there were some bonuses that were additive and some that were multiplicative.
Correct,
and we're talking about advanced species here and Fighter's Guild and Flawless Dawnbreaker. This affects this too, where there were situations in the past where some bonuses, some percentage bonuses would be added together first and then applied as full percentage, while other ones would just be multiplied together separately. Yeah. And the math has been cleaned up on the back end there, so it should always be multiplicative.
Good, which because is, in that case, mm-hmm. there's diminished returns at hand.
Yeah.
So multiple stacking would eventually be less and less effective.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Which is going to be better for balance overall. But that comes in right here. And it's like, that's actually a fairly significant change that you might not realize.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing, even though it hurts. Like, it hurts us as players because you know some abilities will cost more. Like the specific example I gave, it's going to cost more to, like, 2 or 3 ultimate more to cast the ability.
It so, alters sort of what trivial, we're used but. To, but mm-hmm. it does bring it back in line so that no particular class or setup necessarily outshines the other as far as that kind of stuff is concerned, depending on the stat itself anyway.
Yeah. Also, it's going to make it... It's also going to make it easier to sort of predict what's going to happen when you're looking at stuff.
Yeah.
Because if you're sitting there as a player and you're saying, okay, I'll stick this and this together, and the result doesn't make any sense... then you're going to step back and try to figure out what's going on. For a lot of players, that can actually start to undermine confidence in the game.
Oh, definitely. Especially if you are definitely sure that you've calculated something correctly. Mm-hmm. You got We'll use a crap example. You've got 10 weapon damage, and it's going to increase your weapon damage by 20%. So you get that, and you think, so I'm going to have an extra 2 weapon damage on top of this. I should have 12. And then you end up with 15. You're like, what the hell just happened there? Or you end up with 11. And you think, no, my maths wasn't wrong. Something messed up. And that happens a lot. That's a really bad kind of small example of what we're talking about here. But with multiple stacks and stuff, and you get all the way up to like 6 or 7K weapon damage in some cases, and you're thinking, where did that actually come from? Because that's not what it said when I put it on paper. And now it makes a lot more sense that a lot of things in the game were stacking in different ways together rather than one way that they should be.
Oh, I still remember running across, they were in a guild with me, but they came to me with this question because it's like their weapon, I think it was their weapon damage was not where it was supposed to be according to their math. And I was looking at it, I was like, you're getting brutality from 5 sources.
Oh
dear.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Oh, wow.
No, that's not going to work. They don't stack.
Yeah. That's so they're sitting there thinking they should be getting a 100% bonus to it. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of these things are very hidden and not well, I mean, you know, it's there for those that want to seek it out. But yeah, it can be tricky to get a grasp on.
Yeah.
I'm assuming we are good to move on to the Necromancer, who got no notes for this week, but got some overall.
Got some notes. Yeah, I got some notes back on 5.1.0. I'll get this right eventually, because 5.0 is elsewhere. This is for
the follow-up.
Yeah.
So I notice a lot of healing changes in particular to this, and we can go back and consider there's also some... Well, let's go, I guess, top to bottom in here. There's Blast Bones. They got rid of the delay there, so he should have a better chance at actually finding his target, question mark.
That was going to break anyway. It's new.
Yeah, exactly. And it also, I haven't tested him. Well, I guess I did, and I didn't see anything wrong, but it says to help reliability. So I don't think this is going to be the end of it. So people out there listening, don't be too upset if he still paths a little weird for a while.
Yeah.
It's going to be worked out.
Yeah, I found him kind of frustrating when I was messing around with him on live after Elsewhere dropped, trying to get the Blast Bones to go where I wanted. So
yeah,
anything that improves reliability.
And yeah, it says, I mean, it removes that delay, which I found annoying anyway. So you'd summon him and he'd stand there for a bit. That just felt weird. I don't really know if that was intended for a second to actually be there to begin with, or that was an accident, but I don't know. It just felt strange either way. So hopefully his reliability goes up. Let's see. Boneyard cost was adjusted a bit, including the damage. So that's bringing things back in line again. I did like increases the bonus damage modifier for consuming a corpse. That went up a 30%, it looks like, from 20 to 50%, which is 50, interesting.
Yeah, that's an inline change because basically the damage overall went down, but the damage went up again if you took the corpse from it. So if you want to have it as effective as it was before, you got to make sure you use the corpses.
Right, which is what I especially like. You totally articulated it well, because I'd rather see the immediate damage go down versus, you know, getting some extra oomph to using that corpse. It really plays into that well.
Yeah. Reward for playing to your class's strengths. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Same kind of thing. Let's see. Pestilent Colossus, reduce the escalating damage bonus. Each hit of the morph just...
It's still hilariously hard hitting.
Yeah, it's ridiculously strong. And they fixed some of the animations of it as well. So he doesn't just stand there looking like nothing while everything's getting whacked. He does actually swing and punch.
Oh, I never saw that. Huh.
Yeah, he sometimes stood upright as a standing, without even a T-pose. He just stood there like an inactive model. Yeah, it was really weird.
I've never seen that. My favorite is if you summon it on the second floor of a building and someone does that and you're in the floor below, you can actually see its legs. They're really cute. So go out and try that, everybody.
With Negate Bubble?
Oh, I haven't. What's that?
It's a whole circle. It's a big orb.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Stand on top of something really tall and put a Negate Bubble on it.
Oh, wow. I haven't tried that, actually, huh?
I think Nova used to do the same as well. It was a full circle.
Huh. Well, there you go, everyone.
Sure it still does.
Test out some animations.
But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Skeletal Mage, again, brought things back in line. I don't see anything too crazy with that in the Archer. The Shocking Siphon and also, what is it, Mystical Siphon from Restoring Tether, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. They are now not going to cost any resources to cast, just the body that you're casting it upon. So that's pretty freaking unique.
Wasn't it altered to scale off of either side?
Wait, was that, sorry?
Yeah, I think it was. So that, because it no longer has a cost, so it's given the scaling to either stat pool.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. Indeed. Which, I mean, I think
another
that's...
one scaling off of both stats. There's a pattern.
Look at that. Yeah. I
think also, it does. This does make sense, because if you've got an ability that's this difficult to use, where you actually need to put it on the corpse, it makes sense that it's like, okay, you can do this for free, because you already had to demonstrate a certain degree of skill in getting it out there.
Yeah.
I think that's a great way to put it, because I am often alternating the Restoring Tether between that and Mutagen. So that's usually they take one another slot on my bar, depending on what the fight requires from us. So it's really cool to see that I won't be spending as much resources to use that healing spell, which is kind of cool. But again, you have to fight with the whole line of sight and all that other stuff that's involved.
There's a weird thing with resources for other classes, too. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, you go ahead. I was going to say,
there's this weird thing with the entire idea in balancing something like this is there's a cost to playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually in game design, you don't see that cost being applied to the player's ability to execute the ability.
Yeah.
To execute the skill. So that's kind of neat and novel. It gives it a nice flavor that's distinct from pretty much everything else. There are some free things like the Betty Netch, but yeah, this is
cool. Yeah. That's what I was going to aim towards. Betting Edge gives you recovery. That's got the same thing. You've got Repentance, which does require corpses, but that doesn't cost you anything even. You get resources back for that. And then this, again, another ability. Using a corpse system or using something where you have to pay attention to that will give you resources back. So it brings it in line for that. I mean, the Nightblade's obviously got Siphon. It's got Earth and Heart Pack. You've got the Sorcerer, which has got Duck Deal. So this is your... this is your dark deal, basically, but it takes a little bit longer and you need a body to it.
I think all of these changes have me very, very interested for the Necro. Really, they do. Bone Glythe. We talked about this on Jebro's podcast, but the Bone Glythe transformation should fix an issue where you no longer get stuck as a terrifying giant while casting the ability. So
that was pretty funny.
Return. You never return to your frail human form. Now you must find other ways to usher terror across Tamriel. I like that. Good on them.
And a lot of the people that put these patch notes together just for some of the comments like that.
Yeah, I think you have to when you've been typing hundreds of pages of notes after a while.
That's fair.
Spirit Mender also got put in line a bit more. Intensive Mender, they kind of took it down a little bit. The morph now heals for twice as much per tick, not three times as much. It reduces the duration in half, but also reduces the cost to half. So cool.
That's still bloody strong.
Yeah. Overall, I can say playing on the PTS, the Necromancer feels good. So I don't know. Let's do it. And I think, unless you guys want to stop for any of those other last notes that I kind of skimmed through, we can move on to our last thing, which is talking a little bit about the Imperial City event celebration. Don't you want to talk about event tickets? I mean, those are a solid, positive, game-changing thing. Sorry, Zoss. Calling you out on that one. We've been doing it for a year now. Why stop? Indric feathers. People are a little
deflated.
We knew that had they had Mid-Year Mayhem, we knew that would be event ticket related and that would have been a PvP event, but I'm already seeing people going, oh, I don't want to have to PvP for my tickets. Which I think is a larger way of saying, I really don't want to do tickets anymore, full stop.
You can't really argue that there's a PvE event if everyone else had a PvE event.
Agreed.
It's part of the game.
Yep.
If you want to take part in areas of the game to get the event, because it is an event, you take part or you don't, then that's on you. The berries and the Indrix, we knew it was going to go on for a year. They said it was going to. We knew we were going to have to go through this. So for some people, oh, yes, new stuff. I'm going to collect them all. Fair enough. If you're Pokemon Go influenced and that kind of stuff, sure, why not? If you're not, then obviously it's not going to interest you. So again, it's down to subject of choice and what you preference. You haven't got that far yet, so I won't go too much into it, but I do have some words about the tickets and the rewards outside of the pets and the mounts.
Well, let's dive right into what you're saying then.
With the tickets having unique items. So when we had the five companions, four minions and Cadwell, mm-hmm. when we had those motif pages, that was something very new. It was very unique. It was very sought after. And everyone did what they could to get those tickets, whether they bought them or worked for them to get those motifs.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool because it was get it now or lose it. And that incentive to play the events is exactly what we need.
Right.
So that was awesome. Then they're now introducing Imperial and Daedric Furnishing.
Which can be bought through
this
tickets.
This is where my problem is.
Yeah.
They can be bought with tickets, which is great. But are they unique? No, they're not. No. These items, we've checked them on the PTS. You can go into your house right now, look on the list for purchase inside of your editor, and these have been in the game for a very long time, which you can already purchase for crowns, which means if you do buy them with event tickets and you spend crowns on your event tickets, if you decided to, you are getting a little bit of a discount on something that's already there. If not, of course, you can get them for free by taking advantage of the event. But when the event is over, the motifs for the companions were gone, unless they're on the market. When the event is over for this, they're still not going anywhere. There's no risk. What's the need?
It does feel... I always look at these changes and wonder again, you know, how much of the water are they just testing with these decisions? And we know that there is an overall vibe in the community. People are upset that a lot of items are in the crown store and very few things can be achieved in game, and Imperial furnishings are one of those things that you cannot actually buy them. Although they are just a reskin of Breton, you can't get them in the game. You can only buy them with crowns. So,
but they're already there. That's the
I agree.
That would be a kick in the teeth, right?
So these are actually assets that were in the game at launch.
Yeah, they're already there.
With maybe one exception.
That's why I wonder.
Not something new.
I wonder if they're just trying to test the ground to see if that. If they wonder if that tricks the community into thinking, hey, look, we're actually taking things out of the crown store and putting them into the game so you can get them through the game. But that doesn't feel good to me. But I do feel like I'm being tricked. I feel like even if even if the reverse psychology is not being used, I feel like it's accidentally being used. Of like, hey, look, we're conceding, but not on anything useful and good. Like you said, it's reused assets from day one.
Yeah. If this was on the event and then the event was gone and people, oh my God, I can't get them anymore, them into the crown store, how pissed would you be? You just spent your whole month trying to get something and got it. Everybody else didn't. And now they just buy it anyway. So that would be annoying.
Right.
That's not what's happening.
No.
What's happening is these are already bloody available and yet they're in an event. Are you taking them away out of the store after the event is gone to make sure that they've got some unique feel or risk if you don't get it right now, it's going to be gone? No. This is something that's already there. It's like putting a set, instead of farming it, they put it on the vendor for tickets. It's already there. If you're going to encourage people to do these events, there needs to be something that is only there for a limited period of time and you can't get it any other way. These can be acquired already and they'll still be able to be acquired afterwards. It's not unique. There's no incentive to do it apart from the mount.
Also,
and as for the scamp, yeah, exactly. The scamp the skin, come on, you can buy them off the market or you can kill Molag Bal.
Right. Very low drop chance, but yes.
It's not new. You can still...
Oh, the scamp drop chance is reasonable. Drop chance is low. Yeah.
Actually, even the last time I heard people struggling with
it. It's still base game.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
You can still get them.
Well, the Soulscriven skin is still base game. Like, it's... Yeah, the skin itself, you get it from Imperial City, but that's the same skin you see on Soulscriven in base game when you're running through the main quest.
Yeah.
It's not a new item to go and farm for a limited period of time. If you miss it, it'll be on the bloody market anyway because it's double drops in Imperial City.
Yeah, the one thing that's unique here is the Ebon Glow Indric pet, which, I mean, if you're not sick to death of Indrics already, that's actually a nice thing.
Mm-hmm. I really cannot wait until we're actually done with this because I want to do an episode that is just a recap on this singular year of events because...
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of events. I like the idea of rewarding for unique things, for taking part in whatever event it is, whether you're interested or not. But I don't like the idea of recycling stuff that's already in the game for the sake of shit. We don't know what to put in there this month. Let's just throw in some goodies that everyone's already got access to. I feel like it's a bit lazy.
Well, there's also something about this, because the Imperial City is a really cool place, and a lot of players
it's awesome.
Will not go there because they're afraid of PvP.
And they don't need like to fucking go there now. Because you can buy it with tickets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's the problem, right? Like, you've got this system here where it's like, this is actually really cool content. Go, take a look at the Imperial City, and here's bonuses to pull you in. And at the same time, we have tickets where it's like, okay, or you could just buy the tickets. Like,
you are so right. This is
how does this system work? It's play the game, but then or pay not to play. Pay not to play. What
doesn't add any incentive to go into Imperial City Prison if Imperial City if you're scared? Like, oh, I don't want to go in there. It's scary. But there's new stuff. Maybe I'll go in. Oh, actually, no. Maybe I won't. I'll just buy some tickets off the Crown Store because look, the pet is there. I don't need to go and see Molag Bal.
Mm-hmm.
It's backwards. It's giving you a reason to not take part. Granted, that does mean that you can buy stuff with crowns, but then is that too obvious? Is the goal too obvious? Yes, of course you want to make money out of crowns. That's what the Crown Store is for. But this looks like it's so close to almost deliberate. And instead of it just being a choice.
Where did we say... Were we talking about this last week? It doesn't seem like it fits that. Or was this just a conversation I had in my stream and I don't remember? But the idea is that we talked about this a little off air too. The Crown Store feels like it's getting its tendrils are reaching out into too many places.
And that was last night. Yeah, that was on stream.
It does feel like you said, kind of lazy. I mean, this is recycled content, and it does feel deceptive because it's like, well, it's not on the crown. Actually, we talked about this in relation to that pride emote they added, the rainbow emote into the game.
Yeah.
I said that, so they put it behind the crown crates, and you know social media was already upset about companies trying to play off of Pride Month and making money, but a lot of them weren't selling Pride-related items up front and just profiting off of it, but ZeniMax actually did, and the only reason they didn't get flack for it was because they didn't list it with a flat crown value. They stuck it behind a crown crate, then used it on their social media as, yeah, exactly, you can win this, but you're probably going to be paying, you know, it was what, a 16 crown gem item or something like that, so 20 some ish dollars worth of crown gems, if not more, whatever that math translates to with random fans.
I think
30.
No, it's actually less than that. I think it's 15. Oh, really? Because because figure that for 16 crown gems, you're probably going to get that out of four boxes.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're going to get that quite early. You might already have it from the drops from Twitch.
So
I do have it from the drops from Twitch.
So, and that's how I got it, too. But it's just, it is that weird, deceptive marketing. If they're not thinking, I guess the point is, regardless if they're doing it or not consciously, it is being portrayed. The perception, yes.
Yeah. As a whole, I'm quite happy with the majority of the stuff on the Crown Store. I spend a lot of money on crowns to buy the weapon packs, to buy all this, that, and the other. A lot of it is fashion stuff, which is the most kind of fundamental point to the Crown Store itself. It's mostly visuals. Well, there's a few consumables, but the ones in-game are stronger anyway, for the most part. So there's no...
Right.
Like, I think there was actually a bug fix on that with this patch set. I think it might have been the poison. I thought it was also one of the, I think it might have been the drinks where it was actually scaling higher.
Yeah.
At a certain level, and they fixed it. Yeah.
But yeah, this is the thing. Their crown store, for the most part, I don't really have an issue with. Even the stuff you buy inside your house, if you want to buy furniture and all the rest of it. So yeah, some of them are a bit expensive, but it's at your choice.
Right.
This here, it just looks to me like if you don't want people to think that you're pigeonholing them into just going straight to the crown store for tickets, it doesn't look like it's a choice here. It looks like if you want to avoid the event, then just buy the stuff and leave. Now, while it is a choice to do that, it does feel like this particular one is somewhat forced, because there's a lot of people that are scared of PvP. They would rather not go there, and I'm pretty sure they'd rather just buy it and get out. It's a tough moral kind of subject to hit, but at the same time, this particular suggested update for Imperial City does look like it's, hey, for all you that don't like PvP, just buy it. What's the point in the event then if you're not going to encourage people to take part?
Yeah.
The tickets should be kind of, oh, I haven't got enough left, I'll buy a couple. Not just buy outright. Those are choices for people if they want to, but it does feel a little forced.
Well, there's a sort of something in the structure for the events. I think this is probably where we've seen a lot of people getting stressed about it. Like I'm making the joke noises earlier when we bring it up at all, but there's a little bit of truth there too, where it's like, this has been exhausting. I think some of that is also the forced schedule that's going on with this, where it's like because the impresario vanishes the instant the event is over. Again, if what we're seeing on PTS is right, like with this season, with the Onyx Indric, you have to get the berries during the event that they're available or it's gone completely. As opposed to the last two cycles where it was the berries were progressively available, as were the feathers.
See, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with them selling tickets. I have a problem with certain things being available for tickets. Mm-hmm. Like the scamp and the skin. The pets and the mounts, we already know they're there. We already know that's what that's for. Mm-hmm. But the pet and the mount and even the furniture, I don't think that should be, unless it's unique. Which it's not. When it comes to the event as a whole, the first event we ever had was the one where we all got the house. As a tester, community tester. Mm-hmm. Everybody going in and that's what I call it anyway. I think it was a test.
Yeah.
See how many people got on board of it. And there was all hype about it on Twitter. There was that level up bar to see whether I've got it or not or anything like that. And then everyone was like, oh my God, we're going to have more events. Where is the other event that is like that?
I really hope someone didn't get like dropped on their head and forgot and how what that event was compared to this.
That was a community event. Right. This is not. These this is an excuse to go back to old content, which I do support to some extent because obviously it adds replayability. But I do want to see those other large community events where they're gone for a certain period of time. There are rewards for them. Maybe there's stuff on sale for the tickets, whatever. But have something like that to deliberately incentivize everyone to work together rather than just, well, you, Kyle, you're going to Imperial City because you need to get your skin. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go because we've already got one. And Stark's out having beer. Instead, where is someone telling me you must get online now because we all need to do this together? There's none of it.
You probably remember me saying that at ZeniMax. That was one of my points, is please give us more community incentive. As a guild leader, I desperately crave an ability, a bell I can ring, like, hey, everybody, we're going to do this thing together because even if I've done it, I want to help you get it because we both then get something else.
We will get something from
There's not that. Everything we see minus that Summerfall event are selfishly driven. You know, you might be going into dungeons with a friend, like, oh, I have to do my trials so I can get my plunder skulls or whatever. That's fine. But still, the plunder skulls, you're only getting them for you from the Witch's Festival. It doesn't, you getting yours, I know, doesn't help me get mine. I mean, totally independent.
Well, this is where the furniture comes in, for example. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sit there and buy the furniture with tickets. I really don't want to buy it with crowns, but if I liked them enough, I probably would.
Yeah.
But in even a small side to an event like this, is that if everybody does it, everybody gets an Imperial furniture pack or something to that scale, even small. If everyone was involved in it, everybody wins.
Right.
If there's not enough people, nobody wins. You know what I mean? That kind of incentive, even if it's small, even if it's huge, alongside the event. It doesn't matter. You don't have to give us all a furniture pack. I don't really want one now. But even if it was something as simple as that, that would take away the, hey, you're just recycling stuff. And instead, it's like, hey, we're actually getting stuff for free for playing.
Yeah.
And at the same time, if you wanted extras, then that's your choice. It's kind of stuff like that. Ways they can approach it that I don't think they have.
I think you're right.
Revisited.
I think this whole event, unfortunately, has been like watching one big car accident after the other. Like you don't want to look at it, but you know there's another one happening. And I keep seeing people that have burnt out during. We talked about this, I think, off air too. The 5 weeks of it.
That's very bad.
God. Ooh. Yeah.
And people are coming back saying, I burnt myself out. And I'm like, I told you not to. I begged you in Twitch chat. Like, take a break. And the guy was like, I just couldn't help it. I needed my tickets. And I'm like, ah, shit. Well,
I think that's the problem. I think you're right. I don't think that people lose interest in the pets. I don't think they lose interest in the mounts. I think they are physically burnt out for doing it over such a long period of time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was them. They just can't be bothered anymore.
I can't remember where I said this before. I don't think it was on the podcast, but there were a lot of people that were burned out last year when they extended the anniversary event for a week because
that's a lot of XP.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's the XP. There was the, you know, do your writs because you're getting the boxes from that every day. And it got extended because there was, I think it was server outages through Steam. I'm not sure about that. During the event, during the previous event, because again, that those two were always back to back. The anniversary was always back to back with Jester's Festival. But I think PCEU was having connectivity issues during that last year. So anniversary got extended, and I think the anniversary was like 3 weeks, and that was pretty brutal. And I was like, well, I'm glad that's not going to happen again. And they're like, for the fifth anniversary, we're doing 5 weeks. I'm like,
You know, this is
5 weeks of double XP is a lot.
No,
I wonder how. Gosh, I'm not. I wonder how the events are organized from the inside, because like I feel like we need just a strict someone that's hired just to be the event planner, because they are getting so out of control. And as we continue to add new content, theoretically, if we're going to celebrate everything every year, we're going to be celebrating things back to back to back to back to back. Because I'm already, you know, looking forward to my Wrathstone celebration and my Scalebreaker and then my Dragonhold. Where are we going to fit those in 2020? It's going to get real.
You know,
intense.
What's weird about this? Like the first event was actually the first Witches Festival.
Oh, was
so
it?
So that happened. Yeah, that happened. Yeah. And then we had a break for over a month, and then we got New Life. And then after that, we got Jester's, and it was kind of like, okay, well, there's this, in the following year, that like the anniversary also happened. In the following year, they started packing more stuff in. So far as it goes, I don't think there'd be a problem with taking a lot of the stuff, like the content specific stuff,
consolidating it.
Yeah, into the anniversary itself.
I think so too.
Like Dark Brotherhood and Thieves Guild.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
just bundle that stuff in there. Encourage people to try different flavors as they're going through. Not like every day. Don't ask somebody to do the heist and the sacrament every day. Ask them to do the heist and the sacrament sometime in the next 14 days.
Yeah.
Ask somebody to do the Imperial, like kill something in the Imperial City once in the next 14 days. If you want to knock out everything and get all your tickets in the first day and be done with it, that's great. But like set it up so it's like you go through this stuff and you do it and what, like you sample it, but you're on a limited amount you can pull from it, as opposed to do the same thing every day, every day, every day.
So that leads me to a bigger complaint. I know this isn't a podcast. This episode's not about events, but
because we killed an hour on that.
Yeah, before. And we did that before. What I'm getting out of this, though, what you just said, these events aren't really celebrations. They're more
they're not
tick boxes. Which
remember we had this release once.
Yeah.
Well, no one's playing this right now, so everybody play it.
Yeah, they don't really feel. I did say this at ZeniMax too. I said, you know, other games, like if you play World of Warcraft, their events actually feel like a real event. They change the world around you. They add revelers into the game. And I know sometimes we have a little bit of revelers, but those guys aren't even festive enough for me to notice that they're new NPCs most of the time. So like, why should I feel excited about the event? Because I will get an extra drop. Okay. But then that feels like something I have to do, not something I'm celebrating.
Yeah, I'd actually say there's only three real events.
New Life.
Basically Witches. Halloween, Christmas, and Jester's.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, and anniversary. There is the anniversary.
Anniversary's there, but anniversary doesn't do much. It just attaches to other things. Like in the range
of. I think that's too close to Jester's.
Me too.
It is. And I know that that's based on timing, because obviously it is, April Fool's and release of the game. But I think that the XP bonuses should not overlap.
Same. Yeah, no, they shouldn't.
That's too
long. No, those are. If you want to say, like, okay, Jester's Festival also includes the anniversary, like, because it happened at the same time. That's one thing. But yeah, no, because the hilarious thing is, if you were like, you were here in early access was during what's now Jester's Festival.
Correct. Yeah.
I mean,
the game actually released on PC during Jester's Festival. It's not the date that's celebrated.
I think it's reasonable to move the anniversary a little bit. I mean, some weirdo out there is going to be really upset about that. But honestly, I think if the reasoning for moving it a month or something is because we don't want players to feel like we're cramming too much into too short of a period of time, I think that'd be fairly reasonable, because a lot of people were specifically in agony, and you know, they were crying out in pain in Twitch chat at the time that they're working through the event, saying, I'm online tonight not because I want to be, but because I have to be. That's terrible. You shouldn't be playing a game because you have to be. That's a job, and then we should be paying you.
There is no job.
Right. Zeninax needs to cut a bunch of paychecks to all the Twitch chat people, so yikes.
Yeah.
So anyway,
but yeah, there are those three that have their own quests. They've got their own unique content.
Yeah.
They have their own identities.
Well, also this guy's... continue. You could go ahead. Sorry.
I still think Witch's Festival could do more. Like, I'm still going to say, like, you've got the three... creatures that were created for it.
Same.
The Hollowjack, the pumpkin head, the scarecrow. Like, you could drop those in as wandering enemies. Just to spice things up.
You could, yeah. There's a lot they could do. I do feel like the Witches Festival is the one they've put the most work into.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand, obviously, over time, people see the same thing too much.
Yeah.
So they could alter it and add a bit of spice to it. But those ones are... There's quite a lot of effort in there. There's loot boxes and all this extra shiny stuff you can get. Whereas the Imperial City one, Pompeii, that we're looking at right now, I don't feel it.
Yeah.
I really like Imperial City. The DLC was amazing. The Imperial City itself is really, really solid. But as a celebration, I feel the same as I did about Dark Brotherhood Thieves Guild. I'm just not interested.
What's weird to me about this
That's a personal preference. That might not be for everybody else.
Mm-hmm. There was a set of armor. I think it was like Legion Zero. So outfit pieces and then outfit weapon styles that were data mined. So, of course, data mining is in the range of, so that's, of course, in the range of this might not be happening. It looked like that was going to be attached to this. So that there was going to be a new outfit style to come with this, sort of like there was with the Cadwell stuff for the anniversary. Jester's Festival. I'm sorry, for Jester's Festival.
Right.
If that's true, it's going to help a lot with this, where it's like, oh, hey, neat new stuff. But if that's the case, why am I not seeing any of it in the patch notes? So that might have just been deep sixed.
We are going down a bit of a rabbit hole on that one, because I am I know you are as well, but I'm personally dead against data mining.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
But from what you're saying, in terms of seeing other motifs that are only available during certain events, just like we did with the companions, I don't see that being a bad thing.
I think that's a good thing.
I think the companions' rewards, the motifs for that particular event, went down very, very well. So for Jester's Festival, maybe, I don't know, funny clown costumes, whatever. Imperial City, maybe you've got like the Zivkin... a unique Zivkin motif or something like that, or maybe one of the bosses, you look like one of them, or whatever.
Yeah, which is, that was kind of the impression that off of what was data mined, where it was like, it was designed to look...
It would be good.
Oh, it wasn't data mined. I remember where it was from. No, it was on the PTS. It was in one of the previous PTS builds.
Oh, okay, that's
You could find it in your collection. Yeah, you could find it in your collection. That's how we knew where it came from. You could find it in your collection. You could actually see what you were supposed to do to get it. So yeah, that was... I think it might have also been data mined for additional photos, but yeah.
It could take a lot of work to do that every single year, so I understand how it would be hard for them to do for everything. But
and that has happened, some of that too. Stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that has happened, because we've got Worm Cult and we've got Dramora now.
Correct, yeah.
Those are both really nice motifs.
So, that's exactly right. I mean, excuse me, and in, this particular one that's upcoming, I don't see any. And I think that's my disappointment.
Yeah.
I'm seeing stuff we've already got rather than stuff we could. It's not like, oh, we had this event last year and it's got the same motif. That's fine. We understand that people missed it last year. You can get it this year. Good job. this is no good.
Yeah.
Last year we had to farm Molag Bol because he has better drop rates. What are you going to farm him for now if you've got tickets?
Yeah. Well, I've already got the skin. What am I? I got the skin. I got the dye. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think go in there on my alt, get the dye again.
Is the boxes, or are the boxes, the Stonefire Scamp and the Soul Shriven Skin, are they tradable like the pages are? I know they are if you need them, but I mean the ticket version.
The ticket, I didn't check when I was in there, but if the ticket versions for these work like the ticket versions for the style pages from the companions, no. Those are bound.
Interesting.
And I did check that. The Imperial and Daedric furnishings are bind on pickup. So you can't trade those to other players.
No, those ones always bought and pick up anyway, same as they are in the furniture store.
Here's what's interesting about this. I don't know, because we don't have any information on what the rewards you get in the Imperial City are. If there is actually a box drop from something, it's possible it could actually have unbound versions of the Imperial and Daedric furnishing. The Daedric doesn't matter, but the Imperial is something.
That wouldn't be quite so bad.
Yeah, if there's a version of that stuff that's like that drops, and then the tickets are, you really wanted to get this piece of furniture from this event, but it didn't drop for you, so here you can pay to force the drop you want.
In that respect, that would make sense. But if that is the case, then these items need to be removed from the in-game store.
Yeah, and
otherwise they're not unique.
Yeah, and what I'm not seeing here in the description is a reward box. Like, I'm not seeing a reward box you get from killing the bosses. And that's the only thing where I'm like, well, wait a second. That's the system they've used, but is that actually happening here? I don't know.
So it's not consistent.
Mm.
I don't see anything on it, so I can't say for definite, but...
I can't either.
Off the notes.
So I'm just maybe speculating here,
Patch notes.
Hmm. Nothing I've seen, though. So, yeah, that's sort of like, this is how these events have worked for the last 6 months. But if that's not how it's working this time, I don't know. If it is actually you're getting boxes, and there's a chance for the Daedric furnishings out and the Imperial furnishings out of, and that's bind on equipped. And that's where you get the various Legion Zero weapons. Then that makes sense. And that's a lot more forgivable.
Well, I'm deflated based on the fact that we can already get that stuff, but we'll see what happens. At the end of the day, there is BTS, and who knows, maybe they're old.
It's possible. Actually, it's really possible they discontinued showing that stuff, some of that stuff on the PTS, simply to preserve the surprise factor.
Oh, maybe. Interesting.
But if that's the case, then I actually worry a little bit, because when stuff hits live without going through PTS, stuff breaks.
Yeah.
They post this on their website most of the time as well, but I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we don't have a date for this yet. It's going to be what? August sometime, I suspect?
Probably mid-August, is my guess.
Yeah. Because the Imperial City itself, that DLC actually dropped mid-July, didn't it?
Yeah, it was the first one.
Hmm?
The first one, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was the first DLC.
Yeah.
Time to celebrate. Well,
this is the thing also. They haven't addressed anything in this. This is just the ticket rewards. So there must be other stuff that coincide with the event as far as not just the city itself, but also the dungeons.
So yeah, because this does proc on the dungeons.
Yes.
Also, if you're uncomfortable with the idea of PvP, you can still run white gold or ICP on normal and walk away with your reward.
Exactly.
Well, what do you guys say we wrap this one up? We've talked these poor people to death about these topics.
We'll see what happens with the event. That's where I'll leave it. We'll see.
Yeah,
maybe it'll be awesome.
I think every in kind of recap here, I think the PTS batch notes that we got for this week were, in my opinion, very positive. I liked a lot of the things that came through. The only thing that's a bummer is the Imperial City celebration, because that just feels flat and deflated. So hopefully, Stark, you're right. Well, was that? Well, hopefully we're right in that there's some extra content added, but there is that danger of a surprise resulting in broken mechanics or something, like the broken delivery. So on that note, everybody, we thank Zynode for being here 3 weeks in a row to talk PTS stuff.
Zynode, you have me?
You're very welcome. You're always welcome here. Why don't you tell the good folks where they can find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @Zynode. You can find me on YouTube @ZynodeGaming. You can find me on Twitch, 10 p.m. UK time every day. Unless I say otherwise on Twitter, and that is /Zynode as well. Also Patreon /Zynode, where there are loads and loads of perks, including a couple of private Discord channels, one-to-one train, and all that kind of stuff. And of course, the website, www.zynodegaming.com.
There you go. And all of those links will be in your show notes, everybody. So just click over there on your podcast player and you will be able to easily find Zynode just a click away. I am over twitch.tv/ Kyle Dempster Studios, streaming Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. You'll often find Stark hanging out there and we're harassing people in chat just because it's fun talking about stuff like this on a regular basis. I mean, what would you say, Stark? That was just last 2 nights ago or something.
Yeah, that was last night or 2 nights ago. Yeah.
Yeah. We were in a big conversation about crowns and all that sort of stuff. So if you like this kind of rambling from people, feel free. Check us out. Zynode, like he said, he's over on Twitch as well. I'm at twitter.com/ Kyle Dempster STU, and Stark, you're at twitter.com/
Michael J. Schwartz.
If you want to email anything over to the show, it is kyledempsterstudios@gmail.com. By the way, thank you, everybody, and Zynode included, for the people that submitted questions for the Finn interview that's coming up here fairly soon. I think we're actually just doing that, it looks like next week already. So we're taking all your questions. We are formalizing them, writing them up, you know, getting them in a drafted form for them. So that will be exciting. TBD on the date that episode comes out. I think we're going to hold that one for the release of Scalebreaker here. So we'll let you guys know as we get closer when that episode is going to air. That does it for us this week. You guys have a great journey across Tamriel, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.